Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This war needs to be ended this year with Ukrainian victory. And because this war is one of the major disruptions of the global economic stability, it's also for the sake of people in Canada, in U.S., in Europe and other countries, that Ukraine won the war.
Yulia Kovalev, the Ukrainian ambassador to Canada on this program, first week of 2023, talking about Ukraine winning the war, and that's been the objective, and it certainly is the objective of the people in Ukraine. They have every intention of winning the war, and we, when we spoke with General Rick Hillier, the former chief of defense staff for this country, was it last weekend? I think it was last weekend. And General Hillier said, look, when it comes to the Ukrainian army, the Ukrainian military, they're the second largest in Europe, right after the Russians. So they have every opportunity, if they get the weapons they require, to push the Russians back to the border that they, well, back to the pre-2014 border, not just last February 24th, but back to 2014. So a lot of changes have been taking place, as you know, over the last week. Ukraine is now going to be getting the Leopard 2 battle tanks, several, I think 14 from Germany, but Germany's also signed off on other countries that bought the Leopards from them to transfer them to Ukraine if they so desire. Canada has said we'll send four. Yeah, and there's also talk, I understand talks are underway, about missile systems for Ukraine and fighter planes to provide air cover for the tanks. So 2023 could be a very different look on the battlefield in Ukraine. And we know the Russians have not been doing, well, they've been doing pretty poorly. The Ukrainian military has been pushing them around. So what the Russians have been doing in reply is, of course, to fire missiles at civilians. Tells you all you need to know about Adolf Putin, doesn't it? Ambassador Oleksandr Sherba joins us, former Ukraine ambassador to Austria and member of the Ukraine diplomatic mission to the United States. He's the author of Ukraine versus Darkness. Ambassador, how are you today?
I'm very good, Roy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. And I hope that 2023 turns out to be the year that your military, with the materials that have been sent from the West and are going to be sent to the West, from the West, will be able to push the Russians back to their border. Are you hopeful that can be done this year?
Absolutely. Very hopeful. I can say that I'm certain 100% because Putin is not sitting on his hands either. So we have an enormous army, you know, on the other side forming. But other than that, you know, Russian army isn't pumpkin that can turn into a golden carriage overnight. All it can do just getting bigger and bigger, but in the end, it's just a pumpkin. We are not really as afraid of them as we were in the beginning of this war. And of course, the fact that we are receiving these modern tanks, that we will receive these modern tanks, that it looks more and more likely that fighter jets will be coming from the West. It just gives us more certainty, of course.
So is it your understanding that the fighter jets will be handed to the Ukrainian military and your pilots will fly them, or will they be flown by NATO pilots? Because that would change the whole situation.
Well, the news today was that Ukrainian pilots are already being trained for, you know, flying F-16 fighter jets. So it's my understanding it will be Ukrainian pilots, and they will be as skilled and as successful as other Ukrainian soldiers. Yeah,
I was telling a friend yesterday that if the announcement is made that the fighter planes will be handed to Ukraine, or may be handed to Ukraine, I said, if that announcement is made, that means the training's been taking place for months already. They're not going to make that announcement unless you already have a significant number of pilots that are trained on the F-16. What's the greatest challenge of dealing with the Russians? I mean, you grew up in the Soviet Union. What's the greatest challenge
of dealing with the Russians and dealing with that maniac in the Kremlin?
Oh, the greatest challenge is that we all grew up in the Soviet Union on basically dreaming to be like the heroes of the World War II who broke Hitler's neck. You know, I, as a child, as a boy, I dreamt that there would be a war and I would die heroically and someone would make a movie about me and everybody in the movie theater will cry about that, will cry watching. So it's just childish, you know, but, and I grew up and I, and reality changed and I dreamt of other things, of course, but I'm looking at these Russian men who are heading towards to front, to the front, it, and it feels like they got stuck in these late 1980s, 90s. They were told that it's some kind of, you know, neo-Nazis they are facing and they have to give their lives for their country. And many of them just do without, you know, really thinking it through. And what's even more surprising and insane, that many Ukrainian, many Russian mothers send their sons enthusiastically just based on, you know, this idea that dying a heroical death, and they think it's a heroical death to die fighting Ukraine, is the best thing that can happen to them. Plus, of course, there are some, you know, financial benefits they will receive. It's a very insane, crazy, in many ways, inhumane situation, inhumane thinking. And unfortunately, Russia fell into this rabbit's hole, and it's crazy to see it.
Yeah, and we know what the Russian military has done as far as war crimes are concerned to the Ukrainian civilian population in cities that they and areas they controlled.
Yeah.
Once they lost
and
control.
They say those were Nazis. They look at us, at the people with the same first and last names, people who have Russian books on their book shelters, and they say, those are Nazis. We are allowed to kill them, rape them, you know, loot their homes. It's insane.
It is insane. Those battle tanks. Now, I've heard a number that up to 200 eventually will be in Ukraine. How much of a difference to your military will those tanks make? And I just go back to February 24th of last year when the invasion began. And so many knowledgeable people said, well, Ukraine will hold out for maybe 72 hours and then they'll lose Kyiv and it'll be over. Here we are beginning, well, we're into the second calendar year and about to begin the second actual year of war. How much of a difference are those tanks going to make in the overall equation?
Well, having the tanks is having the possibility to push Russians back and to liberate our country, to go in the offensive, so to say. So we have what it takes to be successful in defensive. We have what it takes to make very successful advances using the factor of surprise, like we did in September last year, or using just the situation that was going our way, like we did in Kherson, just because we managed to blew up that Crimea bridge and blew up all the, you know, supply lines of the Russian army, and they had no other way but just to withdraw from Kherson. But right now, it will be, they will be prepared. Russians will be prepared and very well prepared. And the factor of surprise, maybe it will play a role, but not such a role as it was in September. So it will be a bigger battle, a bloodier battle, a battle where we need more manpower, which we have, and more people are heading, enlisting with army. And things like these modern tanks, because this is what you need to, when you go ahead and not just hold your ground. And we hear that these tanks, someone even leaked the number that eventually it will be 360 tanks. Although at least this is what countries pledged altogether to give to Ukraine. That at some point during May, June, we will have these tanks, but we have to fight this war right now, and Quite frankly, Ukraine expects this offensive somewhere during March, April. And this is the question is whether we can do it, whether we can wait till May or not. I hope that we have enough brains and manpower and military equipment to surprise Russians again and to do to strike where they don't expect. But again, just right now, it's as they say in chess, Zugzwang. So everybody is just locked in these kinds of situation right now and bogged down, both Russia and Ukraine. I hope the situation will change in our favor very soon.
Yeah. And people of Ukraine, as you've said to us in the past, the people of Ukraine are committed to this fight to the end, because you're defending your land, you're defending your country, you're defending your homes, you're defending your people. And that's an entirely different equation. And we remember the Russians in Afghanistan in the early 1980s, mid-1980s. They did not fare as well as they thought they would, and they were chased out of Afghanistan by the Mujahideen. So the Russians do not have the Superman status that they like to think they have. Let me ask you about Canada, Ambassador. What's the response, what's the sense about the contributions Canada has made to Ukraine?
Well, you give me a chance to do what I should have done. First of all, I should have thanked the West in general and Canada in particular for the help that is provided. We know that this help is paid by your taxes, and we do appreciate it. But also the voices and the voices of support on social media everywhere, and of course, you know, giving help to Ukrainian refugees all over the world is also very, very much appreciated. I know Canada is second largest country territorially, and for Ukrainians, it's a very, very special country, of course, because so many Ukrainians live there, ethnic Ukrainians. But I understand that the population can be compared to the United States, so we don't expect that level of military support that we are receiving from there, from Canada. But still, four tanks is four tanks, and it's important, and it's not the only thing that is being provided. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And we have the armored personnel carriers, and there's that $400 million missile system that this country is purchasing from the United States, right? Now, speaking of the United States, some politicians on the conservative side of the spectrum from the Republican Party have been arguing against continuing to supply Ukraine with arms unless there is a proper accounting of where all the equipment goes. How much concern is there in Ukraine about that attitude by some of the politicians in the American Congress?
Well, I think we have nothing to hide. Quite frankly, when we discussed this here in Ukraine, I kept saying, let them come and see. And the biggest proof that we are using these weapons and the help provided accordingly is the beating of Russians on the battlefield. So, and today I read in the news that a group of American auditors visited Kyiv. They met with representatives of Ukrainian government. So I think it's a very natural and normal and good thing. Of course, when I listen to what Tucker Carlson has to say, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, it horrifies me just how evil people can be, you know, when just not feeling the pain of a country that was attacked in most brutal manner and just talking about money, you know. I understand that the money is significant and huge, but the cost of Ukraine failing would be so much more significant, and the proof that Ukraine is using the money and the help provided accordingly is there. So it's very, very sad. But thank God that the absolute majority of the Republican Party are with Ukraine and supporting Ukraine, and we are thankful for that.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.